Excuse number 14, it's too big. The it's too big excuse is so big that it seems to plop on top of people and totally immobilize them. Perhaps surprisingly, this belief only needs to be reversed. If you believe that people are successful because they think big, for instance, I'm here to tell you that success demands small thinking. Bring this realization into your consciousness and you will have accessed the ability to think small and act on what only once seemed to be big issues. Some of these include being overweight, battling an addiction to legal or illegal substances, having an unwanted self-image, earning your PhD, building your new house, getting out of debt, fixing your relationship with your mother, or becoming more self-reliant. Verse 63 of the Tao clearly and gently explains what I'm talking about. Quote, take on difficulties while they are still easy. Do great things while they are still small. The sage does not attempt anything very big, and thus achieves greatness. Unquote. These words may appear to be paradoxical, but they're the unquestionable response to this particular excuse. As I was writing this in the book, there was a 12-story structure being erected next door to my condo building. Admittedly, there had to be some big thinking on the part of those who imagined and designed this project. However, the actual creation of this beautiful new edifice is being accomplished in terms of what can be done right here, right now. One step, one brick, and one shovelful of dirt at a time. What a great metaphor to touch base with when you feel overwhelmed by the sheer scope of something. You cannot lose 50 pounds, or quit smoking in a single day, or get your PhD tomorrow, or eliminate all debt from your life forever. Such goals are too big when approached that way, and this makes it too easy to fall back into habituated ways. The excuses be gone method invites you to challenge your thought patterns and encourage your own success. So acknowledge that you can't get the humongous things done today, but you can take that first step. While you can't receive your PhD today, you can register for a course that begins next week, and that's all you can do regarding that lofty goal for now. Think small and accomplish what you can in the here and now. You can't quit drinking alcohol or smoking cigarettes for the next 10 years, but you can refuse to give in to your addictions today, or even smaller, in this moment. That you can do. And that is precisely how all habituated thinking habits get changed, by thinking and acting small in the now moment, and living the only way that anyone really does live, 1 minute, 1 hour, one day at a time. With this new consciousness, you can begin thinking in terms that encourage you to eliminate excuses and elevate success. Excuse number 15. I don't have the energy. Not having the vitality to fulfill your life purpose is part of a learned response. I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm worn out, and I'm too weary are just a few varieties of mind viruses that have infected you, consciously or unconsciously. They're generally an unintended excuse as opposed to a legitimate explanation for not doing the things you want to do. Accept the belief that you're lacking the energy to make significant changes in your life, and you latch onto a flimsy, albeit very effective, strategy for maintaining some pretty slovenly habits. You can hang on to any old and comfortable behavior pattern by using the tiredness excuse. I'd love to get into shape, but I'm simply too exhausted to do what's required. Or, I want to become qualified for that new position, but I'm just too fatigued to go to school at night. The belief in your non-energy becomes self-fulfilling until you have to rest again, because coming up with excuses is a very tiring practice. The low-energy excuse is simply what I've seen myself and many others employ when we don't know how to overcome our own inertia, and I found that when we really put it to the test, it doesn't hold up. I've seen an absence of energy turn into an avalanche of high energy in just an instant. When my children used to complain about being bored or too tired to move, for instance, all it took was a suggestion that we visit the water park, or go shopping for a new bicycle, or do anything that they perceived to be fun, and they'd miraculously convert from weary to excited in a split second. And so it goes with all of us. We use the I don't have the energy excuse as a reason to hold on to an inert and pathetic way of being. The antidote to this is to find a way to inject energetic thoughts into your everyday thinking. One of John F. Kennedy's biographers, Arthur M. Schlesinger Jr., quoted the former president as saying, quote, I suppose if you had to choose just one quality to have, that would be it, vitality, unquote. Vitality isn't simply the amount of high energy atoms you have swirling around inside of you. I consider it a way of thinking. You can learn to overcome the ennui of low-energy thinking and replace it with a way of processing the world that serves you in a positive, life-fulfilling way. Low energy is by and large not a problem of body chemistry. It's a function of a long history of habituated thinking that needs excuses to stay the same. You can learn to practice more satisfying and vibrant thinking that will elevate your enthusiasm and ultimately produce an energetic lifestyle filled with purpose, no matter what your chronological age. You have the power to use your thoughts to elevate yourself to new levels of success, happiness, and health. Excuses be gone thinking encourages you to spend your daily moments in aliveness, free of the old tiredness routine. Refuse to cater to low energy mental activity. Be determined to unquestionably place your thoughts not on what you can't do, but on what you intend to create. Stay in this mindset, and you'll never want to use the low energy excuse again. Maintain your high energy consciousness for what you want to accomplish, and watch it filter down to everyone you communicate with. High energy is infectious, and it originates with vital thinking that replaces these old mind viruses. Excuse number 16. It's my personal family history. You've always had a place in your family, and regardless of your opinion about it, there's nothing you can do to change that. If you were the youngest and always ordered around, that's simply the condition of your early life. The fact is that your birth order, being an only, oldest, or middle child, or any other familial sequencing, including being part of a blended family, having divorced or single parents, being adopted, having alcoholic parents, being of a low socioeconomic status, being racially mixed, or any of an endless combination of factors in your situation, it's all in the past and it's all over. Your relatives did what they did, given the circumstances of their life. Acknowledge this and then move into the present moments of life. Look at your family history as a blessing. Yeah, a blessing. It's precisely what you had to go through to arrive where you are today. The manner in which you were treated or even mistreated provided you with an opportunity to be a stronger, more self-reliant person. Early experiences aren't meant to be hidden behind when life isn't working out the way you want it to. They aren't reasons for staying stuck. But the family history excuse has a huge following, so you have lots of company if you're using it to explain to yourself and others why you aren't who or what you want to be today. The divorce that took place when you were a young child may have taught you many important life lessons, but more likely, you caught the cultural mind virus that goes something like this. Coming from a broken family is a traumatic experience that causes irreparable damage to children. A part of you believes and promotes this meme because it seems easier than exploring the pain that leads to a healthier and stronger mindset. This part of you probably thinks that it's protecting you from that extremely painful childhood experience. Thus, you readily believe, chances are almost zero that I'll have a happy relationship after seeing how miserably my parents failed at their own marriage. You can change all of this by reminding yourself that you absolutely have the power to elevate your attitude and beliefs. Consciously take time to reimagine the family experiences you had in the early years of your life, regardless of how traumatic or troublesome they were at the time. You didn't have the unquestionable ability as a child to make peace with them, but you do now. Be in a state of appreciation and gratitude for the parts of you that survived and still want to grow. Encourage them by refusing to settle for the easy out of excuses. For example, the years I spent in foster homes gave me life experiences that helped me to teach self-reliance to millions of people. Watching my stepfather drink himself to death, along with living with the effects that alcoholism has on a family, was, and still is, a great lesson that keeps me on the path of sobriety today. The presence of scarcity and food shortages as a child gave me an appreciation for all that has come to me, and I can now assure the poverty-conscious part of me that was then, and this is now. Excuses Be Gone encourages you to make peace with everything that transpired in your life, including the painful experiences of abuse, abandonment, and even disrespect. By hanging on to these lifelong self-defeating thinking habits, you do yourself the following major disservices. First, you get weaker and sicker. Your biography can become your biology, that is, by hanging on to old hurts or remembrances, you keep yourself in a place of attracting disease into your body. All of that anger, hatred, and anxiety is a vibrational match to the presence of serious illness. It's the law of attraction at work. If you think about what's missing or what you disliked about your early life, the universe will offer experiences that match what you're thinking. More of what was missing and what you disliked will continue to flow into your life in the form of disease. And secondly, you remain stuck in the past. If you can't elevate the thoughts about your past that are causing you to remain unhappy, unsuccessful, and unhealthy, you stay stuck where you are, keeping unfortunate memories from the past alive with remnants of the originating anger, hate, and sadness becomes a habituated way of processing life. For example, if you hated how your father didn't pay enough attention to you and you use this to explain your adult self-consciousness, you're stuck in that long-held belief pattern. You have the unquestionable ability today to elevate your consciousness, to explore ways to relieve self-consciousness and attract people you want to be with, rather than continuing to explain to yourself that you can't attract those people because your father didn't pay enough attention to you. Remember, your life is happening now, in this present moment. Excuse number 17, I'm too busy. Prior to creating this excuse catalog that I'm now recording, I invited visitors to my website to email me their excuses for not living at the highest levels. In essence, I was interested in the excuses they have used in their lives. Quote, I'm too busy, unquote, easily topped the list. If you're overextended, know that you've chosen to be in this position. All of the activities of your life, including those that take up huge portions of your time, are simply the result of the choices you make. If your family responsibilities are problematic, you've opted to prioritize your life in this way. If your calendar is crammed, you've decided to live with a full schedule. If there are way too many small details that only you can handle, then this again is a choice you've made. Surely, one of the major purposes of life is to be happy. If you're using the excuse that you're too busy to be happy, you've made a choice to be busy, and in the process, you've copped out on living your life on purpose. If you substituted being busy for actively and happily fulfilling your destiny, you need to re-examine your priorities. Here is my mentor, Henry David Thoreau, on unexamined priorities. Quote, most men or women are engaged in businesses the greater part of their lives because the soul abhors a vacuum and they have not discovered any continuous employment for man's nobler faculties. Unquote. Don't let your soul languish in an unfilled vacuum. Instead, begin to examine just how you prioritize your life. All the details that occupy it keep you from a destiny that you're aware wants your attention. Contemplate these encouraging ideas to encounter the I'm too busy excuse. First, I know that I'm not a bad parent if I don't arrange my life to be available to chauffeur the children every day until they're adults. Secondly, I'm allowed to say no to requests that keep me from having time to pursue my life purpose. Third, there's no such thing as a place for everything and everything in its place. Four, there's no right way to do anything. And five, I can have it my way because there are no absolute universal rules. It isn't my purpose to delineate all of the ways in which you can unload this excuse category. Practicing delegating, getting others to help out, and taking time for yourself are all possibilities as well. Thoreau is right in that there are nobler faculties you need to pay attention to, in addition to all of those other details that occupy your life. If you fear the part of your soul that's calling you to a higher place, then you'll probably continue to haul out this particular excuse. Change this pattern by never saying or implying that you're too busy. Just drop it and replace it with the following affirmation. I intend to take time for myself to live the life that I came here to live, and to do it without ignoring my responsibilities as a parent, a spouse, or employee. I learned this valuable technique from the great Vietnamese spiritual bodhisattva Thich Nhat Hanh in his book, Peace is Every Step. Recite these two lines anytime you can steal a few minutes from your daily schedule. Quote, breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I smile. Unquote. As Hanh writes, quote, breathing in, I calm my body. Reciting this line is like drinking a glass of cool lemonade on a hot day. You can feel the coolness permeate your body. Breathing out, I smile. Wearing a smile on your face is a sign that you are a master of yourself. Unquote. This simple exercise helps you to prioritize your life with a sense of peace. Then you can look at precisely what it is you need to do in order to discard the busyness excuse. There's a wonderful cartoon posted on the bulletin board at the yoga studio in Lahaina, Maui that I frequent that summarizes the importance of saying be gone to this popular excuse. Underneath the depiction of a doctor talking to an overweight patient, the caption reads, quote, what fits your busy schedule better, exercising 1 hour a day or being dead 24 hours a day? unquote. That sums up my approach to this particular excuse. Practice elevating your thoughts every day, no matter how busy and important you are. Rather than insisting that you're too busy to exercise, for example, think, I exercise because I'm way too busy to take time for being sick. Excuse number 18, I'm too scared. Again, turning to my email correspondence, here's what else they've told me. Quote, I've always been afraid of being alone. I'm scared of failing, and I've been this way since I was a child. It's a scary world, and someone could hurt me. I'm afraid something bad will happen to me or my family. I'm afraid that someone will yell at me, and I can't handle criticism. And I'm scared about being poor or losing my job and not being able to get another one. Clearly, fear is a biggie in the excuse catalog. A way out of the I'm too scared thought pattern is offered in A Course in Miracles. I have a special love for this weighty tome that tells us that there are only two emotions we can experience, love and fear. Anything that is love cannot be fear, and anything that is fear cannot be love. If we can find our way to stay in a space of love, particularly for ourselves, then fear is an impossibility. I believe that fear is a mind virus that insists that you're either a success or a failure, and it's passed from one mind to another until it becomes a habit from an early age. You're taught to feel, if I don't succeed at everything I attempt, then I'm a failure as a person, and I'm scared to death of having to live with such an awful label. This virus is passed on to you from other minds who bought into the same logic, and it keeps on replicating, infiltrating, and spreading until it becomes a habitual way of responding. You think fearful thoughts, and then you use those same thoughts to explain the deficiencies of your life. You act as if they're really true when, in fact, they're nothing more than excuses. Franklin D. Roosevelt's famous refrain from his first inaugural address, quote, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, unquote, was crafted from Thoreau and his observation that, quote, nothing is so much to be feared as fear, unquote. These Tao men had it right. There really is nothing to be afraid of. When you begin applying the excuses be gone paradigm, you'll find in part three of this program, neither this nor any of the excuses in this chapter will hold up. Here's a personal example. In the practice of Bikram yoga, which is a regular part of my life, there are two postures that require the practitioner to bend all the way over backward and hold the posture for a period of 30 seconds or so. When I first started this practice, I'd feel fear welling up in me as I attempted to grab my heels from a kneeling position. I remember saying to my instructor, quote, I just can't bend over backward. I feel as if I'm out of control. In fact, I've never even been able to do a backward dive into a swimming pool in my entire life, unquote. I had a great meme going here which told me, going backwards is scary. You'll lose control. You won't be able to see where you're going. You could fall. You could really hurt yourself, and so forth. Each of these explanations was an excuse that kept me from mastering these new poses. My fear was rooted in my absence of trust in myself based on a lifetime of mind viruses. When I shifted my mind from fear to love, however, a remarkable thing happened that freed me from the chains of that habituated thinking. I saw myself cradled in the arms of a loving presence. I then said something to myself that I'd never uttered before. Wayne, you can do these two exercises. You are a divine piece of the all-knowing intelligence. First, love yourself and trust in this wisdom, and then let go and let God. By moving to love, fear was impossible, and 60-plus years of excuse-making went out the window. Today, I enjoy demonstrating both the camel and fixed firm postures for new students. Out of all 26 postures, these two give me the greatest sense of joy and accomplishment. As the saying goes, fear knocked on the door, love answered, and no one was there. Here's a recap for each of the 18 most commonly used excuses that I've delineated here. The affirmations will assist you in making a conscious effort to encourage yourself to elevate your beliefs unquestionably. Going back now, here's number one. It will be difficult. Affirmation. I have the ability to accomplish any task I set my mind to with ease and comfort. Number two. It's going to be risky. Affirmation. Being myself involves no risk. It is my ultimate truth, and I live it fearlessly. Number three. It will take a long time. Affirmation. I have infinite patience when it comes to fulfilling my destiny. Number four. There will be family drama. Affirmation. I would rather be loathed for who I am than loved for who I am not. Number five. I don't deserve it. Affirmation. I am a divine creation, a piece of God, therefore I cannot be undeserving. Number six. It's not my nature. Affirmation. My essential nature is perfect and faultless. It is to this nature that I return. Number seven. I can't afford it. affirmation, I am connected to an unlimited source of abundance. Number 8, no one will help me. Affirmation, the right circumstances and the right people are already here and will show up on time. Number 9, it has never happened before. Affirmation, I am willing to attract all that I desire beginning here and now. Number 10, I'm not strong enough. Affirmation, I have access to unlimited assistance. My strength comes from my connection to my source of being. Number 11, I'm not smart enough. Affirmation, I am a creation of the divine mind. All is perfect, and I am a genius in my own right. Number 12, I'm too old or not old enough. Affirmation, I am an infinite being. The age of my body has no bearing on what I do or who I am. Number 13, the rules won't let me. Affirmation, I live my life according to divine rules. Number 14, it's too big. Affirmation, I think only about what I can do now. By thinking small, I accomplish great things. Number 15, I don't have the energy. Affirmation, I feel passionately about my life, and this passion fills me with excitement and energy. Number 16, it's my personal family history. Affirmation, I live in the present moment by being grateful for all of my life experiences as a child. Number 17, I'm too busy. Affirmation, as I unclutter my life, I free myself to answer the callings of my soul. Number 18, I'm too scared. Affirmation, I can accomplish anything I put my mind to because I know that I am never alone. This concludes part 1. You've identified 18 of the most common excuses and have been introduced to reasons for removing habituated thoughts that have been holding you back from living life at the highest levels of success, happiness, and health. Now in part 2, you'll find the 7 principles that lead to a lifetime of no excuses.